Today on our Tech for Business podcast, Todd, our COO and CISO, and Nate, our Director of Cybersecurity, are here to talk passwordless, which is, I joked, we've been dancing around this topic for months, and we're finally here talking about it, giving devoted time. So I kind of wanted to start, I'll just throw it to Nate, and then Todd, I'm sure you'll have some to share. What is the problem with passwords?
They suck. Oh, you go ahead, Nate.
To Todd's point, they suck. You know, the problem with passwords, it's just, I'm going to be a little bit contrary to the last podcast. So the last podcast gave a talk more towards the end users, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, security, you can either, you know, one of the common sayings is the user is the weakest link in the security chain because humans are infallible, right? We make mistakes and everything like that. Computers, for the most part, they just do what you tell them to do, right? Now, we know that they can deviate from that. But with passwords, the problem is people are predictable, right? And, you know, it's really challenging to think differently, right? Probably why Apple had the whole saying, think differently, right? It's hard to do. But with passwords, if you would take a look at the top 100 password list for the last decade, it is the same top six passwords, just moving into different orders, you know, for a decade. So for all the times that people have been told, you know, either through security trainings, compliance, yeah, anything like that, we as people just still want ease, right? Is I just want to be able to log into the website and do what I need to do. And we know that applications have continued to sprawl as everyone's moving towards cloud applications to do business or, you know, at various websites, and the world becomes interconnected. So what do? We take that same password and we use it on the next website. And when it says you need to rotate your password, well, I liked that password, so I'm just going to iterate the number on it. Instead of, you know, winter 24, it's now winter 25. Or let me change the exclamation mark to a question mark or something like that, right? It's easy to predict person's behavior. Right. So that's the problem with passwords. The last thing was when you give up your password, like a phishing email or something, those go out to lists on the internet. They get sold, and often your email address is associated with that known password. And so now people start brute forcing all the different accounts that they can with that password. And those last for years, right? Being bought and sold, bought and sold, bought and sold. So you got to have strong passwords. For today's topic, consider starting to go passwordless. You know, from there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was extremely well rounded out. The passwords are terrible. Even when people think they're doing a nice job with them, they still don't. Really, if you're going to do something with passwords, you really have to make them long and you have to make them very complex. And so if you're doing that, you have to almost inevitably rely on a password manager of some sort or another. And we've got podcasts about that, so we can get into those details. If you'd like, you can go back and search for them. We've got them. But to Nate's point, you know, we do dark web monitoring for organizations, and there are so many passwords out there. And normally when we see them show up for our organization, I tend to send them to the employee and say, hey, by the way, this was out on the dark web. No timestamp on it, because like Nate said, they get sold over and over again. So I couldn't tell you anything about it other than it was out there. If you use this anywhere, update your passwords.
Yeah.
And to Nate's point is we always use things that are easy for us to remember. So as he's kind of going through that, I use this password here, but I can't remember it or whatever, it expired. Inevitably, somebody will go back to one that they can remember because it's easy. And unfortunately, that's wildly insecure and it's easily guessed and whatnot. And so that's where we get to passwordless. And so just to kind of get right to the point, I'll use the phrase early and I'll probably use it often. Passwordless is a game changer.
I don't want to journey too far down this rabbit hole, but we did mention password managers. And is there still, as we journey into passwordless as a company and as many companies and people are, is there still a use case or a reason to do the password manager or maybe start there? Like, or is that just also as obsolete as passwords should be?
Yeah, the quick answer is yes. They're still relevant, right?
Yes, yeah. I was gonna say, yes, what?
Yes. Yeah, no, they're still relevant. And the problem is the journey into passwordless is still a little bit of the wild, wild west, right? This is still something that's getting adoption, but not everyone supports it yet. So there's plenty of websites. I'd say, gosh, if I was just to make up a statistic based off of just, you know, my own personal experience, I'd say 80, 90% of organizations today don't support full passwordless at the moment, right? Almost every website you go to is enter your username, enter your password, let's then prompt for maybe multi-factor, but it's not true passwordless. When you start seeing this passwordless, oftentimes you'll see things like connect with Google or your Microsoft account, right? That's one form of it, but not everyone does that yet. On the kind of the bleeding edge of it, you start to see like sign in with a passkey. Can come to that in just a minute, but that's kind of another iteration of it. And then the getting back to password managers is you still need a place to support your passwords, you know, unique, strong passwords in a secure environment if a website doesn't support it. Additionally, a lot of these password managers are now allowing you to store these passkeys that I didn't mention to where if you are, you know, a passkey is typically tied to a specific device, right? So the challenge with that is if I'm moving around from device to device, well, shoot, I left my passkey at home, right? You know, so these password managers are now allowing you to store those passkeys into it. So as you're moving from device to device, you can still access that. So yes.
Yeah, because I have to add something. I agree with all of that. Ultimately, I don't know enough about the nuances of every passwordless option out there. Mm-hmm. But what I do know is most of the tools, as you're setting them up, even when you do have passwordless enabled, they almost always still revert to some sort of password, which as I think about things as far as just general architecture, that probably isn't a bad thing. Right? So if you move from your phone to a new version, what if you missed your biometric on your phone or something along those lines. Now, what do you do? Resetting a passwordless situation is hard because usually you kind of got to reset your password, right? And that complicates things. Again, I don't know the nuances of every single option out there, but it is still where we're at. And as Nate mentioned, the real reason is not everybody's there yet.
For sure. So, I mean, what are some of the benefits of going passwordless, or what really excites you about passwordless?
I don't have to sign in with the password.
I mean,
the obvious are, right? So every time you get away from it, it's either going to auto lock or you're locking it, which means you have to type in your complex password. Passwordless removes that. It just goes away. So when the friction piece goes away, it's just so much, much better. But it's also incredibly better architectured for security in the future. You can't lose it, right? It's not a password that gets harvested. You can't pick that up. You can't fish a password if there's no password.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the user friction is really going to be a big part of it. You know, so if, you know, let's say log in to a website, like for example, here at CAT, I don't have a password anymore, right? I've already completely got rid of it. There's not even one associated with my account. So with that, I have a lot of biometrics. And so I'm on a Mac right now. You can do this with Windows as well. But like on my keyboard, there's a Touch ID, right? You know, and so in order to log into our system, I just have to quick tap the keyboard with my fingerprint and I log right in. It can be, you know, if I'm trying to use my face to like if I'm on mobile, right? It'll use my face and just sign into the apps. So there's a lot of really easy benefits on that. And then to Todd's point, no one can fish it. There's nothing for me to give up necessarily. And then you could get into some of the other forms of passkeys and everything like that. But other websites, right? You know, it's just saying sign in with a passkey. Well, oftentimes those support biometrics, Dan. And so I just have to, you know, tap my fingerprint and it logs me right in again. So I'll just quickly touch on some of the other ones. Some passkeys, they are things like these YubiKeys that I have. So if, you know, if you're listening, they're little USB plugins. But if you're looking, you know, there's little things that go on your keychain. So you just take these, plug them in, and it registers it as secure, right? So very, very hard for you to get a copy of this unless you come break into my house and steal it from me, right? And if you did that, I'd have bigger issues than you're maybe logging into work here. But so you're really, I'm excited because it truly is getting to the balance of very, very strong security, removing most of user friction. That's a tough thing to do in security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that balance between security and user friction and having something that is good for both, you know?
Yeah, one of the other major benefits I'll put out there is it ends up being both friction and efficiency, as Nate just did, but password resets. We're coming out of the holidays. So as you're coming out of long weekends or holidays, inevitably where you get the vast majority of password resets is over those periods of time, or people go on vacation, this again removes that problem. It just goes away. So the reason why I mentioned it, at CIT, we do support for a lot of organizations, and password resets is by far the highest on the list of things that we do. And as you can imagine, it's one of the more cumbersome things, right? So you got to go validate who the user is and how are they getting in touch with you and so on and so forth. So it's incredibly complicated, which puts a ton of friction between the user and getting their work done. And so it does have a major boon there as well.
I think about, you know, what comes to mind is a lot of times I do not, as an end user, see security tools in my like regular life and have an understanding of it. But I think about passwordless, like with my phone, you know, being able to see my face or having my fingerprint, like it's kind of already being implemented, having the passkey on Google. It's in my personal life so much, which is an interesting, you know, journey for passwordless into our life. Usually I see it coming from businesses first. I don't know.
I mean, if you think about it, where I just kind of went through the whole friction that's caused by passwords, all of the big players, the Apples, the Googles, everybody is dealing with that too. So it's not just the person that's, hey, I forgot my password. It's the big organizations that are doing it too. And so when the technology is coming along, they're quick to implement it. And I got to give huge kudos to the Apples and the Googles out there just making sure that they're developing these tools and getting them implemented quickly. And again, they're doing them in a manner that's so easy to absorb, right? You just had to, you know, you're being able to unlock your phone with your face, even when you got sunglasses on. It's such a big difference from what the world used to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. The passwordless, I would say, really is starting with the business to consumer. That's why like Google is introducing it and everything like that. So I would say business to consumer, you're going to see far more of that. Business to business or like internal passwordless, it's going to have a quite bit more challenges, right, to consider, just as internal systems really haven't been designed for that quite yet. You know, passwordless is usually more of a web-based type of access. When you start getting into enterprise and server access and, you know, that type of stuff, there's a lot of nuances with that. Complexity starts to increase. So if you're very deep into the on-prem infrastructure today, you can put it on your radar, and there are options to start moving down that. But it's not going to be a just quick, let's just throw it in and we're good to go, right? Which is maybe a challenge that we can talk about. But the further you get into these cloud technologies, the easier it gets.
So before we really dive into like challenges and considerations, which are going to be incredibly important for our listeners, I kind of want to talk about the security of passwordless. So, for example, we talked about passwords being so easy to maybe hack. What about these passwordless things? The, you know, Todd, I know you kind of were throwing out there biometrics, like the face scanning. What about photos? You know, is there some cracks in the armor that we see with passwordless?
Dead silence.
No, it is perfect. There are no problems.
Yeah. I'll use Todd's favorite phrase. It depends. The reason why is it depends on the mechanism that you use.
Sure.
So if you are, let's say, talking about biometrics, right? Usually that's pretty secure, right? There's only one fingerprint, you know, that you may be registered. Typically, you're not sharing devices for the most part, right? The problem with biometrics is if someone came to you and said, you know, I'm going to beat you up unless you, you know, put your finger on the sensor, it's a possibility, right? Unlikely, but it is a possibility. Whereas you still give up my password if you beat me hard enough.
I'm just good with that. Yeah.
So, security keys. So getting back to these UB keys in my hand here, if I lost my keychain, I don't have them labeled of what account they're associated with. So unlikely that someone's going to use it. But if you go label CIT access, right, that's going to be a little more of a giveaway. Magic links are kind of one that we see from time to time. So this is where you say, okay, you need to register an account or sign in. Slack is common for this. And what they do is they send you an email. Just click the link. It provides a token and then you log in. You don't even need a password at this point. What happens if someone's in your email, right? Now they can just log right into the application. Typically what you're looking for is something that's tied to hardware and biometrics. That's going to be the most secure. There's on these YubiKeys, they have ones that these ones are just touch capacitive right now. So it's not reading my fingerprint, but there are ones where you plug it in and you actually have to read the fingerprint associated with it as well. Now you're tying a device and a user together. So even if I did lose it, it doesn't work. Other things like Touch ID on a Mac, right, is it's associated with that device. So if I try and open up a random other Mac, it's not going to work.
Right. Yeah. When it comes to facial recognition, I should probably add the extra on there. When you go into that, there are things that have gone through for the security on that too. So most of the sensors and cameras now are detecting 3D. So it's not just you can't hold the picture up there and you automatically get in. So there are, again, it is evolving. Is it perfect? No, it's not, but it is significantly more secure than what the passwords historically have been. And then to Nate's point is you still get into the good, better, best concept as well. So there's a lot of really good things in there that you really help move your maturity along.
Yeah.
Thinking about businesses who, you know, are listening and saying, I want to move towards passwordless, what are the considerations they should have? I mean, what are some challenges that they're going to run into that they should kind of be ready for?
It depends. See, I had to get it in.
Yes. It totally depends. But, you know, broad strokes, what are some hurdles that most everyone is kind of to hit or need to overcome?
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to figure out how I wanted to answer with it. I mean, so as I'm thinking about it, just to kind of give context to where mine is, we've got a very specific scope, right? I want the employee login experience that you would typically get from Microsoft Active Directory to be less friction. So we did develop a scope on where we were going, and then we made sure we had the appropriate tools in place to help get through that. So depending on what your goals are can really decide what the challenges end up being. Thus, it depends is obviously less. Not all of them are going to be able to do it from the same tool set. You could have it. So it's what we're using to do for our password list. And that also helps us with single sign-on. So the extension of our password list moves into other tools that now that I'm into that identity tool, I can password list move across the network into other tool sets as well. That didn't get into the challenges per se, other than depending on what your scope is, it may be too broad to easily begin. There are a bunch of concerns as well that I can touch on, but I want to make sure Nate gets a chance to jump in quick too.
Yeah, you essentially answered mine because I was going to ask a question was, how far do you want to take it, right? Because And which goes in back to everything Todd said about define your scope. So, you know, do you just want it on public facing websites? Because that's going to be fairly easy. And as I mentioned before, the further you bring this into your internal infrastructure, the more complexities and considerations you're going to have. I'll kind of use a good example of highly complex, but very well implemented. You go to the hospital, right? And the doctor, in order to get into the hospital or the secure sites, they have their door access badge. They come, open the doors, you know, maybe disarm an alarm system, probably not in the hospital, but they're moving from secure area to secure area with their door badge. When they walk into your room to do your consult, they sit down, they tap their door badge right to the reader, and it just unlocks the device, and it signs them right into their patient portal, right? And they do what they need to do, and they just say, they touch it again, and it locks the screen, and then they go back on their way. So that's usually in hospitals, they're using a solution called Improvata, and that's a company that provides this type of service, right? But now, if you're looking at something like that, all the workstations, that you have to take a look at the setup of this, because there's a lot of, I'm not going to get technical on you, I promise, but a lot of cryptographic keys that need to be shared around the infrastructure to be able to support that type of stuff. You have all your door badges that you also had to purchase and get registered and everything like that. And so, and then your access system, does that even support it, right? And so there's a lot of deep level configuration. But in a hospital setting, when doctors are making hundreds of thousands of dollars every year and every minute is critical to patient care, time to enter a password or say, well, shoot, I forgot my passwords. I can't get in and service, you know, this patient that's needing critical care. They just need to tap and move on. So there's considerations there. But yeah, if you're starting with just, I want Office 365 or G Suite, or, you know, I think it's Google Workspace now, but if you want to be able to log in there and be passwordless, those are probably some of the easiest ones, because they also are the forefront of the pioneers of this passwordless journey.
Yeah, one of the things I was going to throw out there as a challenge when it comes to biometrics is, depending on who you're working with, so I'm not picking on them, I'm just using it as an example. One of the places that I worked with in the past had put biometrics in, and there was a lot of pushback from the union that they didn't want to accept biometrics because of the invasion of privacy that ended up going with it. So it is stuff out there that potentially can be problematic for businesses to contemplate. This comes with phones too, as you're starting to use tokenizations and a variety of other things, is if the company doesn't pay for the device, you occasionally will get pushback from the users on, well, hey, you don't pay for that. Why am I going to use this for business purposes? There are ways to navigate that, and it probably is outside of the scope of this particular podcast. But I think the answer typically is, I'm removing so much friction. I think you really want to do this. So you usually do get some buy-in. But again, it is a concern. It does cause issues. We talked about it a little bit earlier, too, of what do you do for recovery purposes. So in Nate's example, he's talking about doctors using badging for a lot of things. Well, what do you do when unfortunately the doctor forgot his badge in the car or at home, right? So that they do happen. There are things, and again, there are ways of getting around that too. And some of that might be processes, some of it might be backups and so forth. So there are ways of navigating it. But again, it can potentially cause some friction, which maybe gets back to the, is there still a reason to have a password? You may need a backup option there too.
Yeah. And like in our system, for example, it could be, in order to set it up on a new device to enroll, you have to also have a secondary device that you've maybe already enrolled in, and you can transfer it, you know, but you have to use a known trusted one. And if you don't have that secondary device or anything, you have to talk to an admin to reset it and allow you to reset it. So, but yeah, I've had employees say, I fell backwards into my pool with my phone in my pocket and now I can't into anything, right? Can you help me out?
Oh man!
I had my secure key on a keychain, and my spouse took my car today. Right?
Never thought of that. I think on a different podcast, we joked about like really intense biometrics, like the gait of someone's walk being a thing. And then I think I joked about, well, what if you sprain your ankle over the weekend? You have to call the IT admin and be like, I can't get in because I'm on crutches today.
I forgot about that conversation. Yeah, you're right. We're talking about that. This one is, I'll call it out because some banks use it, is the vocal recognition.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So, you know, how do you authenticate yourself? Well, now they go, oh, yeah, just use your voice and we'll be able to identify that and, you know, use it. AI and deep fakes are everywhere, right? Yeah. You know, and for that's my concern. Like, I actually went to my own bank and turned that back off because I was like, if it's super easy to impersonate my voice, I don't want someone calling into the bank and, you know, impersonating my voice. So
the answer is it is easy, unfortunately.
Yeah.
And free. There's free services then to be free.
Yeah. As we wrap up, I'm interested in what the future will be, not so much about the technology, but I'm interested in what like the compliance and the standardization of this. Is this going to be like on the checklist? Your company needs to have this in place. It has to be part of it. Where do you see that coming in the next 2, 5, 10 years?
I personally would think closer to 10, if anything. Yeah. I mean, compliance moves so slow. You're right. And they're usually not standardizing on a lot. I will say a lot of compliance frameworks right now are, you know, compliance regulations are shifting. So we've seen a lot of the financial services and some of the healthcare services, they're starting to align better with NIST. And so right now we're seeing and NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. They help define standards, and it's a common framework. So, but a lot of these regulations are all aligning to NIST at this point. And so now you're going to start seeing a less ancillary decisions being made across industries and now having one central source of truth. And then, you know, NIST also has made some big changes in their password requirements. To basically say, yeah, don't have the 8 characters rotate every 90 days, you know, that type of stuff. And now it's getting into longer, secure, less frequently changing passwords. Maybe in the future, they're going to have better pass keys and allowing that type of stuff. And then we'll see the regulations start to adopt it downstream. Until that happens, I don't really see it. And then you also still have all the infrastructure challenges and the budgetary considerations. That's why I said I think everything right now is mainly B2C, unless you're using these more premium solutions that have it natively built in.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think it'll be a while. And the biggest reason is I added a caveat to it. I don't know what the timing is, but that 10-year does feel probably right. You're probably 8-10 years out. The one area where I'd say that potentially changes is it's probably more government related, and it probably has to do with levels of security. There are tools out there, as Nate was getting into the tokenizations, the physical keys. They do have very, very strong levels of security built into them, the encryption levels, et cetera, et cetera. Google's been making the comment that says if you're using passwords and multi-factor, that is something like a YubiKey. I don't know. I haven't looked to see what the statistics are out lately, but they were basically saying it was unbreakable. You really couldn't get into their systems. And that was when they had started to heavily move to zero trust. But I can see where at some point there would be a requirement that said something like that. It needs to be this, or it needs to be the equivalent of in that area. But the rest of the world, I would say, is probably a bit further behind. That being said, I guess I should say this before I say the next phrase. A lot of times security is adopted because it's required. I've even used the phrase that people don't love paying for security. This was one of those areas where I actually think it's an exception to the rule, is because it is so much more convenient and it can save the money across the organization in so many different manners that this becomes very attractive to organizations and individuals. And so it will be compliance that drives the requirement. I think it'll be the industry that does it.
There's an article that, as you're talking about Google and everything and the hardware tokens, I remember that there was an article that came out in 2018, and it was Google reported that when they developed their own hardware token called a Titan key, and they distributed these Titan keys across 85,000 employees. And that year they had zero fishing, or successful fishing accounts at their employees. So that's the efficacy of these passwordless tools. Very, very hard to compromise an account. I will say there are still things called session hijacks. So after someone does authenticate, if you're still on a, a phishing website, they'll steal the token and then they don't even re-authenticate with your account. They just kind of steal it and then they're automatically logged in. So even if you implement these strong security controls, please watch what you're clicking on. And just, I just dealt with one yesterday. Someone clicked on the shadiest, click here to view this document, went out to some Russian website and still put in their credentials, even with multi-factor. And it's just, you can only do so much. So please watch what you're clicking.
Thank you for joining us today. If you enjoyed this topic, please let us know. Like, subscribe, or reach out to us at info@cit-net.com or head out to our website, cit-net.com/podcast. We'll be back next week with an all-new episode.